All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this, Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to that body cream scent, baby, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E. A modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
There's power in every purchase because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine. We wild nosy, so we listening to all y'all listening letters today.
Dead ass, because I want to know what y'all got going on, because we're always telling our business. So, hey, we going to get into yours. Dead ass. Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
All right, so we got listener letters. I'm going to be honest. I love our listener letter episodes because people love to tell us their stories. Mm-hmm. And we love to give our opinions about these stories. And, of course, these opinions come without judgment because Kadeen and I are not perfect and we don't claim to be.
Nope.
But based on what you tell us, we can kind of give you some advice on not how to deal with the problem, but how to better communicate so y'all can learn how to deal with the problem, because we don't know how to deal with your problems. But if y'all can learn how to communicate better, then hopefully y'all can find some solutions.
No, I love that. Thank you all for writing in. The thing that I love about listener letters the most is that we are not able to really engage much with people on social media because comments get flooded, DMs get flooded, all that. So we appreciate you all taking the time to actually write into the listener letter email that we give you guys. What's the email, DeVal?
It's deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's deadassadvice@gmail.com. Oh, we reversed it and it was smooth. Did y'all check that out? Y'all saw that?
Job, son.
No, so we really appreciate y'all taking the time to actually write into us. And we at some point would love to get to all the listener letters, but Dribble does a great job of, that was a good one too.
No, it wasn't.
It was great.
It was like you swallowed the Dribble. Pause. It's Dribble. You said, like that didn't sound good at all.
We're going to ask Tribble how she felt about my Tribble this time around, because I felt like it was actually
really
good.
Say it again.
It was from the diaphragm. Tribble.
King, that's not from the diaphragm.
I'm getting
son.
The thumbs up from Josh behind the camera, so that means that we're good to go.
Josh got on glasses. He can't see.
But he can hear.
He can't see how you said that.
He could hear, though.
But he could see how I said Tribble. You see the difference? It's like Shabba.
Whatever. Anyway, it's like Shabba.
Tribble. Mr. Loverman. Tribble.
Tribble's going to get you for yelling at her microphone, too.
Sidebar. She hates when I yell into the mic.
That part. Pause.
Start the listening letters. You just to going on a tangent. Go and start the
but
listening
thank
letters.
Thank you. I love
y'all.
You're going to get into it. All right. Hey. First, thank you guys so much for your podcast. Your podcast has ignited interesting and educational conversations among my friends. I love that. When y'all can get together and have good, insightful conversations. My husband and I have been together for 14 years, 6 years married. We met when I was 19 and he was 20. I lost my father last year. I'm sorry. And the grief turned into depression and anxiety. During those times, I pushed my husband away. We went through challenges in 2020. There was no infidelity, no financial issues. Sex was good. But we decided to separate. Individually, I was not okay for a long time. Sometimes I feel like he couldn't help me. We've been separated for 6 months. I did everything I knew how to do. I did everything I knew how to get out of that dark place. I quit a toxic work environment. I started my own business online. I started going to therapy, working out consistently, and doing activities I enjoy. I might not be where I want to be mentally, but with grace and time, I know I will. Now I know I hurt my husband because I said a lot of mean things, when, like, he's boring, he needs, I guess, to lose a little bit of weight.
No, he needs a little bit of weight. He may be skinny.
He needs a little bit of weight, so he might be skinny. Okay. Or I regret marrying. I feel guilty, shame, and anger towards myself for the things I said to him when I was angry. There's no excuse, and I know that's something I have to deal with. Now, I'm not feeling depressed, and I have a better control over my anxiety. My husband has brought up how he is conflicted about us. He wants to move back in together. However, he also likes his freedom. He brought up divorce and wanting to start fresh. Yet, he tells me he's been looking for a place for us. He's very confused because he tells me he loves me and cares for me. However, he's never been alone. He expresses he needs time to himself and hopes we end up together in the future, whether it's in 6 months, 2 months, 2 years, or 10 years. I hope he is living in a fantasy land.
I told him he is living. Where you see hope? You all right? You need some water?
Yeah, I might need some water or something today, y'all.
Let me finish. I told him he is living in a fantasy land.
Right.
He cannot assume that we will get back together if we decide to divorce. There is a chance he can meet someone, and the same goes for me. I don't want a divorce, and I want to work on our issues.
See, I told you, it's not just me.
You couldn't wait for me to mess up one time. you done fumbled and bumbled through this whole fucking listener letter. I mess up one word, and you like, it's not me.
I told you it's not me.
I brought up couples therapy, but he feels we don't need it. What is your advice on handling this situation? Do I let him get to explore? Listen, this first of all, you...
No.
I'm done reading it because she went back and forth 9 times.
Mad time.
He went back and forth. He wants to be together, but he wants his freedom. But he wants to get the divorce, but he wants to get back together.
Look how she signs it. Sincerely confused as fuck.
Thank you.
But
we confused as fuck.
Because
reading that listener letter
was confusing
because it don't seem like either one of y'all want to be together or apart. It seems to me like he wants his freedom and wants to be married. That don't happen. It seems like she wants to be married but wants to be by herself. Don't
that
get that
ain't
part
gonna happen either.
I don't know what to say because they don't know how to express how they really feel.
Sis, I hope this is not the conversations y'all be having back and forth with each other, because this is a conundrum here, because I feel like y'all are both just really confused.
Listen, this to me is very simple. You have to be deliberate about wanting to be in a relationship. You can't go into a relationship saying, I want to be with you, but I don't want to live together. I want to get a divorce, but I'm looking for places for us to stay. There's nothing deliberate about that.
No.
How do you give someone advice when they don't even know what they want?
It almost feels like they're both teetering because I feel like they both really know what they want, but they're afraid to maybe hurt the other's feelings, because maybe he doesn't want to be together, but he's just saying, I'm going to look for a place so that she feels better about the situation. I don't know. He might not also be over her bashing him and saying those mean things that she said, so he might still be in a hurt place.
Also, she said they've been together since they were 19, okay? You're not the same people as you were when you were 19. And maybe you're only together because you feel a safe space being together, because y'all spent all of your adult years together.
Or a comfort zone, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's a comfort there because this is all I know. Remember, she said he doesn't want to be alone. He's never been alone. So it's comforting for him to deal with this situation because it's what he knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like my grandmother used to say, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
Facts.
So it's like, you know what? I'd rather stay with this person, even though I know I don't really like it, but I don't know what I don't want.
Yeah, you know we know a couple people like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think to be honest, the fact that neither one of them are deliberate about being together, it's going to sound crazy because we never push divorce. Maybe you guys should separate more and
give it some more time, maybe.
Yeah, give it some time and
yeah.
Really, until you feel like there's no if buts, don't get back together. Continue to take your time apart and learn about yourselves, because it seems like neither one of them know about their self. Like,
right.
If they've been together since 19 and together 14 years, they're 33 and still learning themselves.
Right.
You can still be learning yourself at 33, and trying to learn yourself while being of service to someone else is difficult.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard trying to grow through those growing pains,
especially
when you're meeting so young, to kind of objectively know what it is that you may want, because you're always considering someone else while you're figuring out what you want. So, sis, y'all confused. we confuse. However, considering everything that we know, we hope that that little bit of tidbit that we gave y'all today helped. That maybe you need to take a little bit more time to see exactly what it is that you want, because you're conflicted, you said, because you want him to be happy, even if it's not with you, but you want him to be with you. So, hey, I'm not one to tell nobody to give up on what they really want.
And that's why we couldn't read it, because our brains couldn't even function to see how this makes any sense. God
damn. At least I don't feel like it was just me, because I was like, man, this one here is a
Oh, my gosh, my head hurts. My head hurts.
It's a lot. All right.
I'm going to try number two.
Try number two.
You
baby.
Take
go
a
for
rest.
It.
Close your eyes.
Let me take a sip of water real quick.
Yeah, close your eyes. All right.
While you read. Go ahead.
Hey, Kadena DeVal. First off, I want to tell you guys I love your podcast. Now, it's hard to pinpoint what my question is. Oh, here we go again. But just let me know what you guys think. I'm 23 years old and my boyfriend is 26 years old. And I have been with my boyfriend since I was 13, 14 years old.
Oh, man.
Man. It's safe to say. He was there with me through a period of time when I needed somebody, a friend, an ear to listen to, and someone who cared. At 13? Man, son, like, 13, that's a lot.
Requirements that's, for 13 and 14-year-olds, I'm
what was
shook,
going through your life?
Jackson's 10 going on 11. All okay. Right.
We now have 3 kids. Y'all was getting to work, though, through them 10 years y'all together. Y'all was getting it in. We have 3 kids. Part of me doesn't know if this relationship should have gotten this far. Oh, man. I feel like I overlooked his flaws because I needed someone. He comes from an African family where they are more aggressive with their tones. We hear that. He tends to hurt my feelings a lot, even though I know it's not his intention sometimes. He isn't as active with our kids as I feel he should be with him, with them being in the same home. Our oldest child is autistic and can be challenging some days, and I feel like he puts himself first. He plays his video games for hours out the days because he's still a child. He's 23. He buys weed no matter what our financial circumstances are. And last but not least, it's safe to say he is a dreamer. He talks a big game of his plans, but things aren't working out and we're struggling. And I literally beg him to get a job, but he is stalling. So how does he buy weed if he don't got a job and 3 kids? Our relationship is getting to the point where I'm starting to lose feeling and get tired of waiting for him to grow up. On top of all that, he does not do anything to make me feel special. My birthday, Valentine's, Christmas, Mother's Day. I never get anything because he don't got nothing except for weed.
Right.
And I barely get acknowledged. I feel like I'm outgrowing our relationship, but I'm trying my best to hold on so my kids can have a 2-parent household. And I'm also going through PPD and I'm feeling alone. Dang, PPD is postpartum depression, guys. Mm-hmm. He constantly asks for us to be intimate, but after everything I put up with, I'm not attracted. Dude, you play video games all day. You don't take care of your kids. You don't work.
Don't
all you do is smoke
special.
Weed, but you try and smash. That is 23. That literally is 23. That was me in college.
Yeah.
The thing is, we was both broke and on scholarship, so it was fine.
That's part.
If I was like that at 23, at 23, I was playing ball. I was making money.
You were pretty responsible.
I was pretty responsible.
You always
so that was me at 19. That was me at 19. Because yeah. I didn't have responsibility, so I didn't.
Right.
And I couldn't smoke weed because I was playing ball.
Right.
So this ain't me at all.
Nah.
Sorry.
Okay, back to the story.
Yes, I have told him all of this, and from time to time, he makes little changes and says I'm not working with him because he is trying. I know this is everywhere, but I have so much built up. I cried my heart out about Valentine's to my mama on Valentine's Day because he did nothing when I got my when I give my last to him to make him happy. I feel so unappreciated. Please, any advice will help.
Damn, sis. Damn.
She diagnosed the problem, though. She says
she knows
that this is going too far,
yes.
But she only stayed with him
because
he was there. When he was there when she needed him when she was 13.
Oh, okay.
Not sure what she was going through at 13, but it seems like he was a crush to make her feel better
right.
about
he
herself.
Was a friend. He was somebody. Everybody has that like friend at that age where they're just like, yo, this is my homie that grew into my lover and my friend. But it's fair to say that you guys might have outgrown each other.
Might have. I think it's fair to say. But I just wonder, though. How with 3 kids
mm-hmm.
is he able to buy weed if he don't work? Like, I just don't understand it. Weed is expensive these days.
It is. But I mean, if it's something that you really, really want to do, which leads me to say he's making provisions for the things that he really wants, which is the weed. Or he makes the time in the day for playing the video games. People always make time for the things that they want. So,
dude, you got to step up, bro.
Yeah, you got to do better, bro.
Dude,
and then the whole fact
up,
that she's
bro.
Trying to stay together for this 2-parent household thing, we've said it before and we'll say it again. kids know when shit is going awry with their parents. And just this, for the sake of saying that there's two bodies in mm-hmm. the house together does not necessarily mean that it's a healthy environment for the kids.
Listen, staying in a toxic two-family household is way worse than being a healthy single parent. Mm-hmm. That's just the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Like, and it, the thing is, it's okay to be a single parent. It's okay to co-parent. Mm-hmm. Like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. We have to normalize not buying into society's ideas of what our perfect life looks like.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no one can tell you your life has to look like this to be considered successful or to be considered healthy. Mm-hmm. You have to do what's healthy for you. Yeah. And if you know for a fact that this is not healthy for you, right. you got to make changes. And if you don't make changes, then you're being unfair to yourself and your children.
And, you know, it's a thing where I can attest to this, because you never want to make the person who you love or the person who is your life partner or the person who is the father or mother of your children feel underappreciated. Like, that's probably one of the worst things that people could feel. And I know that I was doing that to you for a long time. You know, you had moments where you felt very unappreciated. And then even recently, because we've always had the conversation about it, more recently I've been making a concerted effort to make sure that you feel appreciated, because you deserve that much. And mm-hmm. after a while, I feel like something needs to click in him to say, you know what, she deserves to feel better.
Well, what
about
what clicked in you?
I think I got tired of you asking for certain things over and over again and you feeling like it falling on deaf ears. Mm-hmm. I also feel like I was better equipped to help you or help myself to do those things that you wanted more, because you also made me feel secure in our life. Mm-hmm. You were providing, you know, things that I needed to say, you know what, let me take this off of Kadeen's plate to make it that much easier for her to then be of service to me more. So it was kind of like a team effort. It's almost like you helped to serve me so I could serve you. And it worked out that way.
So this may be scary to people, right? But it's honest. We've been married for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. 11.
11. It's about to be 11.
It's about to be 12.
It's about to be 12. Oh my Jesus, we've been married mad long.
Mad long.
Gosh, so it's about to be 12 years. In the 11th year of marriage, you say you finally realized, like, dang, I need to do more to show my husband more appreciation.
Mm-hmm. More consistently.
More consistently. Yeah. A lot of people feel like they don't got that fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's a fact.
Because we were together 8 years before that. Mm-hmm. So it took you in the 19th year of mm-hmm. us being together to be like, you know what, I really need to do more.
Yeah.
That's a large part of why people be leaving.
Leaving, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
And why you have the patience of a saint.
Listen, you tell me all, you one of your main things is to be like, be patient. Mm-hmm. Right. And I've been saying to you, you've been asking me to be patient for over a decade. It's going mm-hmm. on 2 decades. At what point are you going to meet
fully commit consistently? Yeah.
So, and I say all that to say this. I was patient because I wanted to be with this person. I was mm-hmm. deliberate. There was no back and forth. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It mm-hmm. was, this is what I want.
Right.
I just wanted it. I wanted to be with you. I wanted you to want to be with me. Mm-hmm. I think at any point, if it were I don't really know if I want this, I probably would have been out.
Right.
And I think that's very telling mm-hmm. that you're patient, because 19 years seems like a long time, mm-hmm. but we're only 37.
Right.
So we still have another 40, 50 years of life.
And considering the fact that we two were together, mm-hmm. you know, fairly young,
yeah.
we spent probably the first at least 10 years just still trying to like figure out who the hell
we were.
You know? So in that part, and then having to grow through all of the different things that we had to go through, you know, being broke, getting money, being broke
That's
again,
true.
All that. It was so hard for me to almost be super giving and appreciative as consistently as I wanted to be, because I was still trying to figure out shit my damn self.
Yeah,
you know?
And they're both, she said they're 23. Like, mm-hmm. like, they're still young.
Right.
You know, you don't have to feel like a failure because everything is not going perfectly now at 23.
Right.
And I think that's what she needs to hear more than anything else.
Yeah.
Like, all the trials and tribulations you're going through at 23 doesn't mean that your life is going to stay that way.
Mm-mm.
At 23, we were living in Michigan. I was playing in the NFL. You had decided at that point that you no longer wanted to be a stay-at-home girlfriend mm-hmm. and a living girlfriend. So you had told me that you were going to move back to New York and leave me in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were going through at 23.
Yep.
We were arguing about the fact that you weren't working, but you were doing a traffic reporter search, and mm-hmm. you wanted me to take you to the most expensive mall to buy designer clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, people have their things that they're going through at 23.
Right.
This is your thing.
Right.
Don't feel like you failed, because if you look at us now, mm-hmm. you're like, dang, I wish I had what Kadeen and DeVal have now.
Now.
But you wouldn't have wished that if you'd have saw or heard us at 23.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So give yourself some grace mm-hmm. and some time to grow. Mm-hmm. Be patient with him if you feel like he's going to be committed. I felt like Kadeem was going to be committed. I just wanted her to figure it out. Like right. I never felt like she was going to just say, fuck it. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why I was patient. I feel like she'll get it at some point. So yeah. if she feels like he's going to get it, then stick with him. If you feel like he ain't going to get it, sis, deuces. Because you're 23, and although you got three kids, you still wild young.
Yes, wild young. Yeah, a lot of wild life young. Left to live, sis. Good luck to you. All right, I'm going to take a stab at the next one.
Well, before we
should do a break.
We got to take a break.
Take a stab.
Because you need
break.
To get some water before you try to read this next
list. Let me get my mind stroke. Right. I'm going to pop a Tylenol.
She was over here blinking.
Some water.
My God, damn.
It might be my lashes today. I don't know what it is. But all right, y'all. We'll be back.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us. And it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact. And the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know, I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Y'all, let me tell you, after the Love Against the World tour, my social battery is depleted. Drained. No energy. How do you feel, babe?
I don't know. You know, it can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up one after another in the wintertime.
That's a fact. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge after that? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time like me.
You know what? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/deadass.
All right, now we're back. I had some water. Popped the Tylenol. Let's see. Wish me luck, y'all. All right. I've been wanting to write to you all for a minute now and finally got the courage. Oh, I love that. My husband and I have been together for 5 years and married for 1 year and some change. We just moved into our newly built home in July of 2021.
Congrats.
And ever since we moved in, I've expressed to him my desire to have our first child soon. It's the start of 2022, and I made it clear to him that I'm really feeling these urges to have a baby, and it's really something that I want soon. We had planned to try for a baby at the start of 2023, and he says he's not ready for a child right now, and he just wants to enjoy married life. We both work from home, and from 2:30 p.m. to bedtime, we just watch TV, and he plays his video games, hanging out with family on the weekends. In my urgency, he's willing to push us to try to conceive in June of 2022. Now, I'm a type A personality and really big on planning. I've already read all the pre-pregnancy books and have been getting in shape and taking the supplements to optimize fertility. I've been watching all the YouTube videos and do this openly in front of him so he knows that I'm doing my research.
But no pressure, though.
But I've even bought him a Plan for Pregnancy Dad book.
But no pressure.
Which he reads. Now, here's the issue. We usually use the pull-out method when we're intimate. But as of late, he started using condoms.
Yo, that's wild funny. He said, fuck this bitch thinks she's slick.
Condoms every time we have sex. This really hurts my feelings and makes me feel that he is not interested in having a child.
Oh my gosh.
How can I deal with my feelings of not only rejection when he decides to use a condom, but also us being on two completely different timelines? I don't want to pressure him into this too late, but I also want him to want a child as much as I do. Any ideas on how to make him more ready? P.S. None of our friends and family our age have kids for us to speak with. Your boy resorted to condoms. If DeVal ever pulled out a condom when we were trying to have kids or not trying to have kids, regardless of the situation, that almost sounds like he feels like it's a desperate time, desperate measures kind of situation.
Yo, I can only imagine, like, for years y'all not using kind of using the pull out, and then just randomly he's just like, wait, right, I'm ready. Yo,
what?
That had to be hilarious. Wow. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at y'all situation, but that moment there,
that is, yes,
funny.
That,
that's TV ready, right?
That's
there.
Like, that's, yeah,
funny.
That was like a whole sitcom for sure. I mean, I feel like you've made it overtly clear to him that you're ready, and you're saying that you don't want to pressure him into this, but you kind of are pressuring him into it. I'm wondering if there's a specific timeline that you're on for a specific reason, because I know you said that you guys planned at the start of 2023, and maybe his mind is in 2023 and you guys aren't quite there yet, but now you're feeling like, okay, you have the house, so you're ready to get started. So that would probably be my follow-up question to you, like, is there a particular reason why you're on this time frame or not? That's something that's difficult. That's difficult to navigate. Babe, what would you do if you were him? Or if you were her and you really wanted a baby, but I wasn't ready.
To be honest, I'm like, okay, I understand mm-hmm. where she is coming from. Mm-hmm. Mainly because women have a biological clock, which is very real.
Yes.
Like Kadeen and I have learned after having these four kids, when you have a baby at 27, it is way different than having a baby at 37.
That is
the body just
fact.
Responds differently. So the need for women feel to say, hey, I want to have this while I'm in my peak physical shape is very real, mm-hmm. right? But I also understand how he may feel, where mm-hmm. it's like, I want to enjoy married life. Like, I remember before we had kids, mm-hmm. it was, you go out during the day, you do something, you come back at 2:30, like she said, they work from home, you're done at 2:30. You got time to fuck, eat food, watch a movie, fuck again. Enjoy
play
your
some
life.
Video games.
Fuck again.
Eat.
Read a book. When you have kids,
yeah,
all that time is gone.
Gone.
And she said that they're newly married. Well, yeah, they're newly married.
Yeah, they've been together 5 years, married a year.
Married
change.
A year. Just got a house.
Right.
Like, he wants to enjoy that, because once that baby comes first, you have a full year of mm-hmm. being pregnant, mm-hmm. right? 10 months to be pregnant. Mm-hmm. Then the baby comes. Mm-hmm. So you have a full year of your wife recovering back from just having a baby. Mm-hmm. Then after that full year, now your baby is one. So now you have to be a parent. Like, you don't really get to have your
There's
spouse
no clocking out. Yeah.
The way you had your spouse.
You know what
you
this
started.
Makes me think of too? We were just having a conversation with a set of friends about having control over your life, having control over yeah. your time, and how yeah. children are a surefire way for you to just lose control of all that. And some people who may have the desire for that control over their life and their time and that autonomy, they feel like children strip them of that. And that can be very, and it's true. And that can be very, very, like, you know, discerning for people.
See,
if you're thinking about adding a child to a relationship.
This is why it's important to be prepared or want to have kids.
Yes.
I never felt like my kids were stripping me of my time and autonomy because I always wanted to have kids.
Right.
So part of my autonomy was choosing to want to have kids.
Yes.
If you're not in that place where you want to have children, but your spouse wants to have children, then you decide to have children, you're always going to feel a little bit like, dang, I wanted to play video games, but now I got to feed the baby. You know what I'm saying? And that's a selfish thought, but it's your life.
But I can also see it being a thing where it's just like, damn, like now you deal with the baby and the baby that's crying at night. Because I know what it's like having a baby and then having those fourth trimester blues or that fourth trimester postpartum depression. And if he's not in the frame of mind to want to have to help you out during that situation, you could be very lonely and be like, you know what? You deal with this crying baby at night because you wanted to have this baby now, not me.
Well, that's nothing I want to say. She said that they agreed to have the baby in 2023. But now she wants to move it up a year.
Right.
Like if why not we just make stick to if that? We make an agreement, right? And and here's another thing that women need to understand too. We make an agreement we're going to do things on this time. Then you become passive aggressive and start reading books out loud because you want me to hear it and then giving me books to read. I'm going to put a condom on.
Right.
You want to be passive aggressive?
Right.
I'm going
to
be passive aggressive.
That's a DeVal move, to be honest.
It's mad petty and immature, and the passive aggressiveness is definitely your move. Kadeem wanted to get engaged, so she took pictures of rings and put them on the refrigerator.
Absolutely. We've been there.
Yes.
Been there.
And then when I said I felt pressure to get married, she got upset. Make that make sense.
Right. Agreed.
See what I'm saying? Like
absolutely.
And this is what people need to realize. You can tell people what you need and what you want. But if we agree to something and then you passive aggressively tell me the same thing over and over again after we agreed to it, it's pressure, number one. But number two, you're going to get that passive aggressiveness back.
Absolutely.
So
which
I think
is the way it works.
What I think the best thing for them to do is have a conversation. It always goes back to having conversations, right? But also you should honor what you said. You should. Like, if we agreed to 2023, let's enjoy this time for a year. And then in 2023, start the process of having a baby. But don't spend all of 22. It's fucking January. No, February. So you're going to be passive aggressive for the next 11 months.
Right. Like, it's like, you know, it's coming. So it's not a convincing him to have a baby. It's just the time frame. So it's going to come.
Right.
I say enjoy this summer. Enjoy 2022.
You ain't going to have this again.
Think about you. Enjoy it. Because once. And then we all were dealing with COVID for the past couple of years, too. He might want like a full year to just kind of chill out and just enjoy each other.
And understand this. Once you have a baby, you don't get your life back until that child is graduated from college.
No backseat.
That's the truth. Like, so now, once you commit to having a baby, you have at least 22, maybe 23 years to be involved as much as you can for that person. So when your wife or your husband, the person that you're married to, you met them at 22, now it's 44. That's not the same person.
Nope.
Let's enjoy these moments.
Yeah.
Let's not rush.
Yeah.
And it'll be different if he says he doesn't know if he want to have a baby, because now you're in limbo. You're not in limbo. He said 2023.
Yeah.
We made a compromise.
Right.
Don't mess up the compromise by being passive aggressive.
Right.
It's messed up.
And I mean, I applaud you for doing your research and making sure that you're taking your prenatals and doing what you have to do to prepare your body and being in shape. Like, those are all responsible things to do as you prepare for it. And I mean, also too, some people don't even know how quickly they'll be able to conceive, because some people think it may happen right away and it takes a little bit of time. I don't know if that's a concern of hers or not. But yeah, I think you guys should definitely be on the same page to avoid any resentment that may happen later on. All right. Good luck to y'all. I'm sending you baby dust. I don't know if I should send it in 2022 or 2023.
Send that in 2023, man.
I'm gonna send you the baby dust.
Don't be playing with them.
Over there, sending it all to you. Awesome.
Don't be playing with them, man.
All right. So number four. I think we have a fourth one.
Yes, number four. Hey, y'all, I've been listening to the podcast for a while now, and I never thought I would have ever had to send this email. I'm 24, and I've been with my best friend for 5 years, and we got married 3 years ago. So they got married at 21. They've been together since 19. Got you. About a year and a half into our relationship, I moved overseas to go to school. I would visit home as often as I can. We got married with hopes that this long-distance situation would be worked out, but here we are almost 4 years later. I recently met a guy at school, and I really think I'm falling for him. Ooh. Mm. I do believe that all this time away from my husband is pulling us apart. I love him so, so much. He is my best friend, and I don't ever want to hurt him. I am afraid that if we don't work out this living situation soon, our marriage is going to completely fall apart. Any advice? What can I do to save my marriage? Number one, not fall in love with somebody.
But, man.
This is what I think. I think they were young. She went away to get to school. Mm-hmm. They got married as a way, as like a romantic way, like, I'm about to leave. Let's get married.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
But you learn throughout time compatibility.
Yeah.
And you got married not knowing if you guys are truly compatible.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because
or it's just the distance too. Like, they're in a long distance situation.
Well, they do say distance makes the heart grow fonder. If you are willing to work, you know what I'm saying, for it. Or distance make you fall in love with somebody else.
That part. Exactly. And it could just be proximity, that the other guy is closer. Yeah. So you're spending more time with people. People grow on you. That's also a possibility as
Absolutely. So what
can you do to save your marriage? I mean, if the ball is in your court, then you may have to sever ties with this guy that you're falling for. If it's something that you are deliberate about, I think in this whole situation, the thing that is the overarching topic for me is deliberate. You have to be deliberate about whatever it is that you're trying to do. Is it going to be saving your marriage or canoodling with homeboy where you're at right now?
I think distance sucks. I hated when we were apart.
We hated it.
But we made provisions to be together.
And we went in hating it. We were also too very... like, could not wait to see each other the next time.
Yes.
Like, every time I was at the airport about to leave DeVal at the Detroit airport, it was, like, gut-wrenching.
It was bad.
You know, having to leave each other. But then the minute I got back to New York, it was, like, counting down the days to see him again.
Yeah.
And we had some of the best times, I feel like, in that moment, because we were always having the desire to be together. So when we were together, those moments that we were together, they really counted. Like,
yeah.
And they were good. They were really, really good.
I hate to hear when people choose marriage as a solution to solve a problem. Marriage can never be a solution to a problem.
Never.
Oh, we're having a baby. I don't know if we should be together, so we got married.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're moving apart to go places, so we got married. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, marriage should never be a solution to a problem.
Right.
You should be wanting to get married and find solutions to your marriage through the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But it should never be the solution. And I think that's the mistake they made.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just run in and say, we're going to get married because that's going to make us feel. Because that's what happens
it
when
does
you're young.
Like a hopeless romantic thing.
It does.
Let's go get married because you're about to be apart. Don't leave me, babe. I want to be your wife. I want to be your husband. Like, you know.
And that's what people think. People think that once I get married, this person is going to honor that more because we have this certificate or this paper. The true honor in your marriage comes from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from within. Like, a judge can't make you honor someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a pastor can't make you honor someone. It has to come from within.
Yeah.
So if you feel like just getting a paper is going to make you be honorable or be honored by your spouse, then you're wrong.
Right.
So I think that the first mistake was getting married as a solution. I think that they should continue to talk. But it's going to sound crazy. If she can't come back to the States and he can't go over there where she is for them to be together and she's falling for someone else, they might need to explore some time apart to see if this is really where they want to be.
Plot twist. What if he's falling for somebody where he's at?
He probably is.
So if he is and she is.
I mean, they're young. What, 24?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And I could be wrong. But I'm pretty sure a 24-year-old man is not sitting at home twiddling his thumbs just wondering where his wife is or what she's doing.
Mm.
You know, and if she has time to fall in love with someone else,
it's
because he's not spending that time with her, which means he may be spending time with
somebody else.
You know what I'm saying? Because when we were apart, we spent as much time as we could together on the phone. So there really was no time to fall in love with someone else. If I wasn't working, I was on the phone with you.
Right.
If you weren't working or doing your RA stuff, you were on the phone with me.
This is pre-FaceTime and all, y'all.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's a lot of opportunities they have. And, you know, hopefully they utilize it, but.
All right, girl. It looks like the power is in your hands. That's how you can save your marriage.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Well, look, let's take another quick break. We have two more listener letters. Too long listening. Like, dang, this is a novel. But we appreciate you guys. We're going to take a quick break, pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
There's power in every purchase because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so.
And get this. Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, and we're back for our final two listener letters for this segment. I'm new to your show, but not new to you two as entertainers. I love and appreciate your content so much, first and foremost. Thank you. A little backstory. I'm a young Black man approaching 30, and my lady is a few years younger than me, 5 to be exact, but she's a fan of y'all, so in case she's listening, I'm trying to be discreet, you feel me? We got you, bruh. Secret's safe with us. We've been together as boyfriend and girlfriend for almost 5 years and have been living together close to the time frame of us actually being together in a relationship. We look at each other as domestic partners at this point, but I plan to propose very soon, hopefully this year. Unfortunately, this is my first serious relationship and it's been a challenge to deal with my emotions, her dealing with me, growing as a man, etc. We have arguments like any other couple, but I feel like I'm not good enough for her at times because I get silent when she becomes frustrated with me. She then gets silent on me and I just have to wait until she's ready to talk, leaving me feeling sick to my stomach all day. Mm-hmm. That sounds like me.
That's you.
Uh-huh. I feel that I'm being that being from the South and being raised in the church is different from her who has roots from up north, the Bronx specifically. Oh, we won't hold that against her. Brooklyn baby. But I'm having difficulty trying to be more assertive for her like she wants. Thing is, she's a little rougher for me. She's
from the Bronx.
Right, to deal with in her assertion, and I'm trying to work through it the best way I can. Question, how can I work on being more assertive for her despite our different upbringings, and how can I work on fixing issues right away versus taking too long and waiting things out? Assertive in fixing my mistakes, having honest conversations, etc. I'm wanting to have honest conversations to be established before we have a family and move forward. Love from Atlanta. Peace, King and Queen. Oh, he sounds like a sweet guy.
He does sound like a sweet guy. Aww. He's dealing with a New York chick from
Okay.
That's hard.
Yeah,
man.
I think our approach, I think that's why you and I, whenever we have our discussions and stuff like that, it's funny, when Deval and I met, and of course, as we continued to grow in our relationship, he was also very vocal, and that was a part of our upbringing. It was just, you were always vocal about how you felt and your feelings. Me, it was never really like spoken about or encouraged in my house, so I kind of took the back seat and was more quiet. But I can relate to him in that I get this not so good feeling. Like, I almost feel physically ill whenever we're not on the same page.
Yeah.
Because it just makes me feel like I need to be right. And that means that it matters to you, which is a good thing. So upbringing definitely has a lot to do with the way people communicate. So I think what happened with me, because I feel like I'm more like him, I eventually learned to assert myself more. And now it's a thing where Deval can't get me to shut up in conversations because I'm always having something to say. But I think it was necessary to get that pulled out of me for us to reach some sort of understanding when it came to various topics.
Facts. The thing is, you hate when I pull out. So I couldn't let
or
that.
Or wear a condom.
I couldn't let that ride. But no, I agree with you. Like, they're just two different type of people. Mm-hmm. He's 30, she's 25. They're going to learn each other,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, we learned each other if they're both deliberate about learning how to communicate, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is one thing I did learn over time. Dealing with stuff transparently and in real time is important.
Mm-hmm.
When you sit quiet and let things fester,
mm-hmm.
The root problem then becomes the secondary issue. The, mm-hmm. the then major problem is the fact that y'all didn't communicate properly.
Right.
And now you're no longer working on the root problem. You're working on your communication constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've done, and like I've said, this is not a quick fix to how you handle the situation, but this is what I've learned, right? Kadeen used to always shut down, be quiet, and I used to get exhausted trying to pull stuff out of her that I used to just give up, right? But then we would spend hours and hours and hours not talking. I'd notice she'd always be sick. She'd be running to the bathroom. I'd be asking her, what's wrong with you? And she's like, nothing, I just don't feel well. So now what I do is I will hammer away at what the issue is until we get to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because either way, she's going to be sick and we're not going to be able to enjoy the time. So at least the time that we're not enjoying, we're going to not enjoy it while we dissect
and try to be productive.
And be productive, right. That's ultimately what it is.
So you're saying not really focusing on the delivery of what's being said, but actually the issue.
Right, because people get so focused on delivery
mm-hmm.
that they are ignoring the problem.
The actual problem.
Okay, people communicate differently. Now, I'm not saying to accept being disrespected mm-hmm. or to be disrespectful to someone.
Right.
But you know your girl is from the Bronx, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the first experiences I ever had with a chick from the Bronx, right? I was at a party. I was in high school. Chick from the Bronx walked up to me and said, what's up, my nigga? What's up with that dick? You trying to clap these cheeks?
What?
I swear. They're different type of aggressive from mm. the Bronx. Like, Bronx chicks are very, very, think about Cardi B.
Mm.
She's different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you fell in love with this person who's aggressive like that, when it's time to communicate, you can't then say, turn off the aggressiveness to meet me where I am.
Mm-hmm.
She may be aggressive. You know she's aggressive, but you know she loves you, right?
Right.
Listen to what she's
saying. She's probably passionate about how she feels. And yeah.
Like, the chick was passionate about this dick.
And his cheeks.
And her cheeks.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is learn to listen to what she's saying. And don't be judgmental about how she's saying it. And that goes for everybody.
Yes.
Like, stop being judgmental about how your partner says stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Try to listen to what they're saying
mm-hmm.
so that you can kind of get where they're coming from.
Right.
You don't have to agree with it.
Right.
But you can understand where they're coming from if you're not being too busy judging how she says it.
Right. Because we've been there.
Yes.
We've been there many times. Many years of just like, how I said it and the word that was used. And DeVal was like, let me find a different word to say this.
That's
thing.
Your thing. Let me explain to you about Kadeem.
Not words. Words have power and words have meaning. So be specific with your word and be very purposeful and deliberate, because I will pick it apart.
That's very true. But don't be nitpicky because you don't want to concede your point. So rather than trying to listen to where your partner's coming from, you nitpick at every word they say to try to discredit what they're saying. For example, Kadeem and I had an argument about when we were arguing in the back room.
About something.
But in any event, say for example the word was late, and I'd be like, you know, you were late, and she's like, I wasn't late, I just wasn't on time. And I'm like, Kadeem, that means you were late. No, I wasn't late, DeVal. I wasn't on time. There's a difference in late and not on time. And I used to be like, are you listening? Okay, so you choose the word you want me to use that's going to make you feel better about not being on time.
I was delayed.
Within
reason.
You see what I'm saying? We spent hours arguing about the difference between late and delayed rather than addressing the root problem,
which we don't even remember.
Right, and we weren't productive. Right. Like, we just weren't productive. So what happened? We ended up arguing, right?
Losing sleep.
She woke up not feeling well because she knew that I was upset at her. I was being petty and being like, fine, so if we're not going to use the word late and we got to use delayed, I don't want to use that word, so we're not talking. In turn, I'm feeling not sick because I don't physically get nauseous, but I'm feeling like annoyed all day because I want my wife. Like, I want my wife. This is my best friend. I don't want to argue. I want to play around. I want to have a good time. I want to enjoy life. I don't want there to be constant tension. And for us, what we learned in these arguments or discussions, because we no longer call them arguments, mm-hmm. right? This is another thing we say. Just because I disagree with something that you said or done doesn't mean that we have to argue about it.
Right.
We can discuss it and find a way to make it make sense to both of us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no longer just arguing. Mm-hmm. We have discussions.
Mm-hmm.
In those discussions, we find ways to be productive and move forward, as opposed to nitpicking each other apart so that we can just be right.
Just be right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right fighting.
Right fighting, right.
This is just actually getting to the root. Oh, well, good luck. I always love when you guys writing. I always say that because it's nice to hear guys writing in and listening and all that stuff, getting perspectives.
And let me explain to you something about up north women, right? Not just the Bronx, because my wife is from Brooklyn. She can be very hard at times as well. My mom is from Brooklyn, grew up in the project. She can be very hard at times. Women from up north tend to be that way because of the way they're approached their entire life,
mm-hmm.
right? You walk down, you're a pretty girl, dudes will grab your wrist, what up, ma? Let me holler at you.
Mm-hmm.
So that aggression comes from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like she's just aggressive for no reason. It's right. aggressive because that's the environment she exists in.
Mm-hmm.
But women like that who choose someone typically are some of the most loyal people I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
My mom is super loyal.
Yes.
You are super loyal.
Right.
I mean, I mentioned Cardi B, but if you look at Cardi B, she's extremely loyal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like women like that are hard. And I think a lot of times that's a defense mechanism to protect their hearts. You still have soft beating hearts and mm-hmm. you're still very feminine, soft women. But that hardness is a way to protect yourself from all of the hardness that's coming at you. So if you know that about your girl, embrace that and mm-hmm. know that it's going to be beautiful if you can learn how to push aside how she says things.
It attracted you this far, bro. So, hey,
facts.
Let it rock. Facts.
Now, Shorty didn't attract me when she approached me like that. But if she looked like you, it might have.
It might have.
I ain't even going to lie.
She clapping for days.
Yeah, it might have. I'd have been like, what's good, ma? What's good?
Yeah.
Feel me?
All right. Let's roll into our last one.
This is our last listener letter for the day. Hey, Kadeem and DeVal, I'm sad. I first want to say that I absolutely love and appreciate all of the transparency you two provide to the world. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. It's comforting to know that other couples go through the same trials and tribulations as we do. What I wanted to bring up is that my husband is an ass man. Oh,
right.
I thought she was saying he was an ass. He's an ass man. No, he's an ass man.
As in he likes the cheeks. We're
like
talking
me.
About cheeks a lot today. Okay.
Yes. He likes big butts and he cannot lie. No, it doesn't say that. But it does say he likes big butts.
Uh-huh.
And thankfully, I have a little something back there that he loves. We have two kids together, so my body is naturally changing and it's harder to maintain. I've been working out for a few months and now I'm losing my booty a little bit.
Mm.
He always tells me he loves my butt and would never want me to lose it. I'm afraid if I keep working out that I will lose it and he will no longer find me physically attractive. That's something that you have mentioned in the past before.
Absolutely.
Too. But we found the answer to that, so we'll get to that.
We'll get to it.
I want
to
keep working out for my personal health and to be around for my children as long as possible. But my husband is my lifelong partner whom I always want to make happy. I'm so
love
happy
that. That, somebody that
a woman
that.
Acknowledged that and yes. said that.
Yes.
I'm so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, bro. That sounds great. If I want my booty to stay where it's at, I have to be unhealthy and bigger.
No,
that's
you don't.
Not true.
No, you don't.
How would you suggest to find the balance in this situation? So I know he doesn't enjoy working out, so it's impossible to get him to do it with me.
Squat, sis.
Go ahead.
Squat, deadlift. The thing is, you're not training the right way.
Talk about it, Ellis.
You are not training the right way because I am now on my journey to get back after baby number 4 because I agree with you. Ladies, your husband is your lifelong partner who you always want to make happy. I can't necessarily make him happy, but I can provide an ass that he'll be happy with.
Yes.
So the thing is, you need to really take a look at your program, the training program that you're doing. Are you only doing cardio?
Sounds like it.
It sounds like it. So Deval, I'm going to throw to you because you can probably give her a couple list of workouts that I tend to do that you've coached me through as well to maintain the assets.
Yes.
While trimming down the waist. So you can stay slim thick.
So here's the key, ladies. This is for you, all right? Most women, when they train, want to train like a sprinter, not a marathon runner. If you think about sprinters are lean, but they have high musculature in the glutes and hamstring in the calf area.
The whole posterior
chain. Typically, say it one more time.
The posterior chain.
The posterior chain starts from the top of the head and goes through your back of your neck, your lats, your traps, your lower back, your glutes, your hamstrings, your calves, your Achilles, and your heel. That's the posterior chain, the whole back part of your body, right? Mm-hmm. But most people, when they think about working out, is burning calories. How do you burn calories? Get on a treadmill or the elliptical or the Stairmaster, and you just run for hours. That is the worst thing you can do for your body.
Don't do it.
If you look at marathon runners are typically very, very lean, very, very skinny, not even lean, sometimes look malnourished.
Right.
Because
With no musculature.
Because running for hours and hours on end not only burns fat, but when there's no more fat to be burned, your body will then burn musculature to feed it of the nutrients that it needs to continue to run.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do is start to lift weights. Now, when I say that, women say, I don't want to look like a football player. Listen to me, Ma. Your body does not have testosterone like a man. You can lift as many weights as your husband can lift, and your body will be completely different than his because you don't have testosterone. Mm-hmm. You have estrogen, so you're naturally going to be softer. If you do exercises like squats, deadlifts, and lunges, for example, that helps build the posterior chain, plus it burns more calories than running.
Mm-hmm.
If you burn calories by lifting weights, you also burn calories while you sleep because your body needs to regenerate that musculature when you're not working out.
Right.
So you actually burn more calories by lifting heavy weight than you do running long distances.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to move, and you also talked about heart health and being here for your kids, do sprints or jumping rope as opposed to do long distance running on the treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's two types of cardio. There's aerobic and there's anaerobic. Aerobic workouts are workouts that last 35 to 40 minutes straight nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
Anaerobic is more like you do something really, really hard and fast and then you stop and rest.
Mm-hmm.
You burn more calories in an anaerobic workout because your heart rate peaks. Your heart rate peaks, your body burns more heat. Heat converts to calories and that's how you burn calories.
There you go.
I know it's a lot to take in, but re-listen to the episode.
Yep.
But
jot
ladies,
this down.
I'm
and take
telling
your protein
you,
in. Definitely higher protein diet builds muscle.
Absolutely.
And you'll need that to replenish after doing a hard workout to build the booty muscles and all the ones that apply.
Ladies, I'm telling you, stop looking at the scale. Kadeen has been on his workout journey for the past 5 weeks,
yep,
right?
Almost 6 weeks
she hasn't lost any weight.
Nope.
But she's lost a ton of inches all over her body and her ass has grown.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's been doing workouts that are dedicated towards building the musculature and her posterior chain.
Yep.
So don't let people tell you that it's not possible because it is most definitely possible. Now that I'm done helping the ladies, I'm glad she said what she said about being what she needs for her husband because that's her life partner.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't let guys off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
In our group chat, we have the same conversation about being what you're supposed to be for your wife, right? Your wife met you a certain way. You want your wife to be enticed to have sex with you, especially if you're a man who has a high sex drive. You have a responsibility to keep yourself healthy and physically in shape, to inspire her to want to give her body to you. That's not just a wife thing. That is also a husband thing. This idea that I'm going to do it for me only by myself is fine when you're single. Mm-hmm. But when you're in a marriage, you are in the service business.
Yes.
So I am here as a husband to serve my wife.
You better preach.
Wife, how do you, and this is going to sound crazy, but I only wear a beard because my wife
thoroughly enjoys it.
I hate wearing a beard. It's a lot to groom. Sometimes it itches when I start growing it. I have to regrow it back every time I film because I cut it sometimes after filming. But I do it to be of service.
Yes.
I love to be in shape for myself and be healthy for my sons. But I love when I get out the shower and my wife is looking at me from her side of the bathroom. And then before I know it, she's all on me. I love that feeling. Mm-hmm. And I know that when I'm working on myself to be better for myself, it makes my wife feel better about being with me. So
bars.
Relationship people.
Two-way street.
Don't listen to the internet tell you, you ain't got to be in shape for your man. You ain't got to be in shape for this. You got to only be in shape for yourself.
He gonna love you regardless. Yeah, he'll love you.
Yes, he'll love you. But there's a responsibility to serve your partner.
On both sides.
On both sides. It's not just her. It's him as well. So that's.
Absolutely.
So my baby that you wrote in, you said that you want to do this for him. If he's not making you feel enticed to have sex because he don't want to work out, you need to tell him he need to work out. Because it ain't
together.
Fair. Do it together.
It's actually a really great foreplay for us. If y'all haven't seen
it. It works out a lot for us on this end.
As the booty continues to grow.
Yes.
This was a great session, I think.
It was.
I hope we were helpful to y'all. Just at least providing our two cents. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And continue to write into the listener letters because these make for great episodes. Mm-hmm. Whenever we want to be in touch with you and feel a little bit closer to you. So go ahead and email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's deadassadvice@gmail.com. What did I say?
You always say C.
I said C? Did I say C or CE, Josh? Josh ain't even listening. I told you he can't hear shit with them glasses on. Let's try this again. That's deadassadvice@gmail.com. This is the moment of truth. Kadeen and I can't give you any advice about your relationship that you can't get from your partner.
Ooh.
Ask them these questions.
That's amazing.
Is the best way to get advice about
we
your relationship.
We literally said trust that this morning. Trust your partner.
Yes. Yes, trust your partner. Talk to him or her.
Because we ain't in y'all house or in y'all bedrooms, nor do we want to be. So.
It depends.
Depends on the couple.
Sometimes you look, you be like, I'd be a fly on the wall in that one.
Facts. Sometimes. And then other times you're like, I don't know about that there. But hey, if it works for y'all, it works for y'all.
Yeah.
Okay. And then now you can be sure to follow us on social media, Deadass the Podcast. I'm Kadeen IM.
And I am DeVal. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review,
and subscribe. Deadass. And keep writing in. Tell your friends. Tell them to write into the family of here, y'all.
Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.